Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles. Psalms 119. Once again, Psalms 119 is, we're going to look in verses 129 through 136. So we are getting closer and closer to the end. And I know I've enjoyed the study. I know some people are maybe ready to be out of Psalms 119, but you, each time you get into it, it just shows somebody who has a passion and a love for the Word of God. And same thing tonight. And the title for tonight's message is, How Do You View the Word of God? And David talks about how he views it right up front. And we're going to go ahead and read through the passage, and then we're going to kind of go back verse by verse and walk through it once again. Psalms 119, and my goal for this study is that we would have a greater love and desire for the Word of God. And not only that, but also that we would seek to know and understand the will of God as we go along for a theme for this year. Psalms 119, go ahead and let's start in verse 129. It says, Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and to teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've put this, the longest chapter in the Bible, inside of it for a reason. And over and over and over, Lord, we see a love for the Word of God. We see the Word of God lifted up. We see how we're supposed to respond to the Word of God. We're supposed to run to it, cleave to it. And Lord, I pray that tonight, as we consider your words, that we would look at them and understand how wonderful your word is, how truly amazing it is, and that God, we would, as the psalmist is saying, would let it enter into us, and Lord, would provide light. Have such a desire that we're panting as if we don't know what we're going to do without it. And Lord, that we would let us have victory, not any sin have dominion over us. Instead, let God himself rule over us. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 129, thy testimonies. And each of the verses inside Psalms 119 uses some type of reference to the Word of God. So here they use the word testimonies, each of them except for one or two. And when you look at it, he says, thy testimonies. And then he uses the words, are wonderful. So that's why the title is, How Do You View the Word of God? Or what would you use to describe the Word of God? And just think about it for a few moments. What exactly makes it so wonderful? It is an amazing book. It's alive. I mean, we know where it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. But that word wonderful means it's full of wonder. It means you sit back and you take in the Word of God and you're amazed by what God has written to us. And I know when he speaks to my heart, it's something that's full of wonder. God, I've never saw that before. God, thank you for helping me with that. And it's something that, do we approach your Bible reading like that? Do we approach the Word of God about it? Well, you think about the wonderful things. Consider its content. Consider the way, the manner it was written. You think about all the different authors over all the different span of all those different years from different areas, different people, different background, and they all agree together perfectly. There is no way that could have been anything else but God. And if we would look at that and we just, man, that is full of wonder. If you would go back and think about all the different authors, all the different languages, all the different people over thousands of years come up with one book. Why is that? It's because God wrote the book. God wrote the book. He moved upon men and he used human authors, or in a sense, human penmen to write those things, from the revelations to the commands to the fact it's inspired. It's free from error. It contains so much in itself that teaches us it's got to be true. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonder that sometimes I think we forget about. And sometimes I think it becomes such an obligation or an annoyance that we have to open up our Bible, because if not, we'll feel guilty. But that's, we've lost the wonder of it all sometimes. And that's what the psalmist comes in. He comes to this spot and he says, "Thy testimonies, they're wonderful." And then he uses these words, "Therefore does my soul keep them." Now remember that word keep, many times we think about is kind of like keeping a dog or keeping a possession. That word there keeps talking about protecting it. Not just it's in the idea of obeying it, it means that I'm going to protect that word. This is something that's worth protecting in my heart. It's something I need to hide in my heart. And it's the idea that you're not going to let things in there that's going to go against it. These things are overwhelming if we would just look at the effects that the Word of God has on people's lives. It's wonderful. It's full of wonder that the fact that someone can sit there and preach the Bible or read the Bible and see themselves as a sinner and see themselves in need of a salvation and cry out to God from that book can help us go from death unto life. That's just full of wonder. It's an amazing, amazing book. And that's what the psalmist says. Because of how wonderful it is, why wouldn't I keep it? Now, we fast forward to 2022. You fast forward to 2022. Why don't people keep the Word of God? They don't think it's wonderful. Now, we might say it and we read it, but do we really stand back and take in awe what the Word of God is or what it should be to our lives? If you got saved, the Word of God was present somehow. Whether it was someone telling you about the Bible, and maybe they misquoted it, maybe they even used a different version, or maybe they helped explain it, but the Word of God was present, because the Word of God is what leads. I mean, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is something that changed all our lives, and if we allow it to, it will change our life day by day. As we look into perfect law of liberty, we're changed from spot by spot, little by little, moment by moment. This book can make us exactly what God desires us to be, and nothing else can. The Holy Spirit uses it, and it's wonderful. So how do you view it? And I think sometimes people that are just not acquainted with its testimonies, people just don't understand it or don't view it that way. And because of that, you're going to see because they're not acquainted with their testimonies, they're not going to understand them. And because they don't understand them, they're not going to admire them. Not only are they not going to admire them, many times they're going to look at it as a choice whether or not I need to do it. But a person that dives into the Word of God and God begins to change and work in his heart, you know what they're going to say about the Bible? It's wonderful. It's full of wonder. I used to have a vice. I used to be in bondage to sin, and the Word of God taught me I didn't have to be, and it gave me victory. And when I get victory, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to think it's wonderful. I'm going to think it's great. And you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't always look at it like that, and I don't always see it that way. Why not?" But look what the next verse says. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple." So I'm going to do a little object lesson. So I'm going to ask Max to turn out the lights here. So you look at it, and it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Go ahead and get them all off there, Max. There you go. It's kind of dark now. Oh, Miss Kathy messed this up. She left it over. We were going to make it all the way dark, and we'll blame Miss Kathy. But you think about it. Consider it. It's completely dark. And it, you know, what's going to help it is if you turn on a light. If you turn on a light, you know what's going to happen? If you receive the light, it's going to give you an entrance. You're going to see what's going on. And the illustration didn't work that well because of the big screen behind me either, I'm sure. But if it was completely dark in here, you'd be like, "What am I going to do? Or where should I go? What should I do?" And the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." So if you're in a dark spot and you don't know what to do, you know what the Bible does? If you allow the Word of God to enter into your heart, it can give you light on what you should do. Max, you can go ahead and turn the lights on, please. I should have thought a little bit more about the screen. That would have worked a little bit better. But if it was completely dark in here, and think about it, there are things in our lives that we really aren't sure about. I mean, what's that next step? I mean, how should we pray for our country? What is those things? And if we look even at some certain topics, what should I do with the loss? Should I really care about those that live out there somewhere else? Or when it comes to topics that might be controversial, like music or like a version of the Bible or like modesty or like how to raise a family. And there's a lot of darkness that many times people don't have a clear understanding. What the Bible says, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And the idea here is not just, it's not just hearing the words of, it's not just reading the words. That only benefits a little. But if you let them enter into you, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If I let the word of God and enters into my heart, and I'm not just saying just reading to just pacify and say, I've done my job, I've done my duty, I'm done for today. No, it's taking the word of God with you and letting it enter into you. He says he will give you light. And as he gives you light and you follow that light, you know what he's also said he's going to give you? He's going to give you understanding. He's going to explain to you why his word talks about loving people all throughout the world. Why the Bible talks about how it can be so wonderful and how it can be esteemed so highly that your soul has no other choice but keep it because you admire it so much. You don't want to do anything to mess it up. And over in our word, in the word of God, it's sometimes we wonder and we question things and we're wondering, what should I do? I mean, how can I figure these things out? And he says, it giveth understanding unto the simple. That word simple is sometimes used the idea of silly or foolish. Meaning, it means that you don't know. You have no understanding. It's simplicity. It's a dark subject that you have no knowledge about. And if you flip on the light switch of the word of God and you allow it into your heart, it's going to give you light. You say, Pastor, I don't got any light concerning that. Have you let the word of God enter into your heart? I mean, you have heard it. You've maybe read about it. But have you taken and said, God, take this life and apply it to my eye. Apply it to my heart. Have you prayed the prayer like it talks about in Psalms 119? Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. God, this is truth. I want to do what's right. I want to do what your word says. I esteem your word. I admire your word. So because I esteem and admire your word, I want to know truth. You know what's going to happen? The light bulb's going to come on. What am I supposed to do with, what's God's will for my life when it comes to my marriage? Husbands, love your wives. Learn what that means. Figure it out. There's plenty in there. And wives, what am I supposed to do with my husband? It's in there. Figure it out. Let it come in and be something that's personal and make it something that you're giving entrance into the Word of God. Giving understanding means to separate mentally. It's to comprehend. It's an intelligence to perceive, to be able to discern and become prudent. So as you get understanding from God, you get the light from God, you know what's going to happen? Then you're going to be able to explain it to someone else. We've got a whole world full of people out there trying to explain things that they've never gotten light from the Word of God about. We have a whole bunch of people trying to talk themselves through something that they've never had true understanding from the Word of God. Instead, they've just heard it from somebody else. And that can be dangerous if that person didn't get the light and understanding from them either. So the words we find must have entrance into our hearts. Spurgeon said this, I believe it was Spurgeon, says, oh, that thy words, like the beams of the sun, may enter through the window of my understanding and dispel the darkness of my mind. Oh, that thy words, like the beams of the sun, may enter through the window of my understanding and dispel the darkness of my mind. And those things we're seeking God's word for and we're seeking God's knowledge. You know, how am I supposed to treat one another in the church? What am I supposed to do? What's my attitude supposed to look like? What's my mouth supposed to look like? What's all these things supposed to be? How is that? It's found there. If you truly want to let it enter into your heart, God says he'll give you understanding. Verse 131 continues on. He says, I opened my mouth and panted, and for I longed for thy commandments. Now, it's kind of interesting. You think about it. When you think about somebody panting, usually you think about an animal. And they're there, and you see an animal that's there, and they're panting for something. They're desiring something, usually trying to catch their breath. More often than not, they want something to drink. And that you can see that. It's something that they have desired to the point that they allowed themselves to become overcome with heat, sometimes stifled. It pants for mouthfuls of fresh air. David's saying, I want you to look at me. He says, I've opened my mouth and I panted. That talks about how much he's longing for God's word. He becomes to the point that he is actually, he needs it so much that he cannot live without it. I want to be there someday. I'm not. But this is what the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, says. It made me to a point that I desired it so much that I had to have it, that I was not going to be satisfied, and I was not going to be content with anything else but your word. Man may try to satisfy me. You might try to satisfy me from a different way, different angles. But he says, you know what? The only thing that's going to give me rest is God's word. And the truth is found in it. And he continues on and he says, for I longed for thy commandments. That idea of longed means to desire for. He desires the commandments of God. He is left breathless, intense and eager. He yearns for the word of God. He desires towards God's word, and he wants to do what God has told him to do. And he's longing for it. Look what it says in verse 132. It says, he said, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. 131, he's saying, I'm panting, I'm longing for it, and he's not longing for it so that way he can get God to agree with him. God's word hasn't changed for all these years. It's not going to change so that way he can say what you want it to. But he comes to this spot, and he says, I want you to look upon me, and I want you to be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. And you consider if there's an animal, your dog's there, and they're panting in front of you. Why are they panting in front of you? It's because they want you to be merciful to them. Give them something to drink. Get them out of the heat. And that's what the psalmist says. Look at me. My mouth is open. I'm panting. And I thought, will you just look at me? Please just be merciful to me. And I think sometimes we don't want God to look to us. Sometimes we'd rather God turn and look the other way because of our sin. But he's longing for God to look at him. And what is he longing for? He's longing that God would be merciful unto him, and that he would, he compares himself to things that other people that used to love his name. What are you seeking for in this life and in this world? He sees himself here. He goes and he says, look thou upon me and be merciful to, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Luke chapter 11 talks about seeking. It says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And that's what David's saying here. Look unto me. I need you. And he's seeking the wisdom. That's what God promises him. I'm going to give you understanding. When you go looking for God this way, with this type of interest, with this type of desire, he's going to answer your prayer. You say, well, he's never answered mine. Well, then there's some type of thing in the equation, because we believe the Bible to be true, don't we? We believe that it's right. Sometimes I get it, the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is wait. Sometimes just wait and see what I'm going to do for you. I understand all that. But he is saying that if you will keep his testimonies and view them as wonderful, and if you will allow the words of God to enter to your heart that you're seeking after him, he will give you understanding. And this is the type of seeking that David's saying. Look at me, God. I'm seeking after you. God, please help me just like you helped people in the past. You think about some of the people that love us thy name in the past, how God looked after Abraham. Think about how God looked after Joseph. think about how God looked after Moses. And you go Enoch. If you go and look at the people who loved his name in the past, do you love the name of the Lord? I mean, is it something that we have a passion for? Well, it must get past this normal Christianity of what's here in America today and say, you know what, this is God's word. It's wonderful, and I love the name of Jesus. And then he says, as you look upon me, I don't want you to stop there. He says in verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. He says, order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. We need God's leading. We don't need to just let the word of God enter into our hearts and then just us do what we want. It's not something you just come and you take part of and you leave. It's something you take with you when you read your Bible. It's something you take with you if God's spoken to your heart in church, and you take it and you let it enter into your heart, and then you say, God, okay, you showed me this, I learned this, I panted after you, I've been longing after you, you spoke to my heart through your word. Now I need you to order my steps. You've given me understanding here. Now I need to know what you want me to do next, and what you want me to do next, and what you want me to do next. And he said, here's the reason. He says, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Dominion means that it's something that governs your life, something that is has power over your life. And the psalmist is saying, I'm not going to let sin have dominion over me. I'm not going to let a sin define me. I'm not going to let one thing that is a character flaw, and I'm not going to be in bondage to that. I mean, do we want to be remembered for a sin? We remember about David and Bathsheba. I mean, many times people remember that more than all the wonderful things he did. And he says, I don't want to let this sin. How many times do we live in bondage when we don't have to? Are we taking it seriously? Is there something in our hearts and our lives that rules and reigns on our hearts that we put before God? And that's what he's saying. I don't want anything to have dominion over me. I don't want anything governing my life but you. And I think if we would just get to the altar or get to a quiet place and say, God, I want you governing me. I want you to be the one to lead and direct my steps, order my steps, because the sin, when it has dominion over me, it's the one that's controlling me. It's the one that's pulling the strings. It's the one that's directing me this way or directing that way, because I can't get the victory, but you can. Think about some of these verses. Psalms 101:3 said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I love that verse because it kind of just puts the perspective there. I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes. Well, that's really easy. I mean, I know what's wrong, what's right. I shouldn't even be looking at it. But that next phrase, I hate the work of them that turn aside. I don't think we hate sin enough. I think we allow sin into our lives and we let something have dominion and have reign, and we're like, oh, that's just me. That's something I guess got to live with. That's something I guess got to do. I'm going to serve the Lord the best I can, but this sin's going to have dominion over me. No, he says, I hate the work of them. And I'm not standing up here saying I've never had something have dominion over me. I'm thankful that God's given me victory over certain things that it was tough for me to get rid of, and things that were hard for me to get rid of. I know my music was something that I struggled with and that challenged my pride, and I'm sure that still comes up. My mouth, my attitude, all those different things. And God's given me victory. I don't want those things to have dominion over me. I don't want those things to be that's what I'm remembered for. I want God to govern my steps, and I want him to have the dominion. And the only way that's going to happen is when we look at God's word and say, man, that's full of wonder. And we come to the spot, he says, I'm going to let God's word, because it's wonderful, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to let it enter into my heart. I'm going to get that understanding. I'm going to seek God to order my steps. I'm not going to let that have dominion over me. And this is not the only verse. Other verses in Psalms 119 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Psalms 119, 113, I hate vain thoughts. Psalms 119, 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalms 119, 163, we haven't gotten to this one yet. I hate and abhor lying. over and over. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. If you hate your sin, do something about it then. Get rid of it. Don't let it have dominion. God gives you victory. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Psalms chapter 6 is a wonderful chapter of the Bible that teaches us so much that we can have Christian liberty. We can yield our bodies to instruments of righteousness or unrighteousness. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's not the way that he designed it. He doesn't want that. He does not want that for your life. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And that's what he's saying here. I want God to order my steps. That's never going to happen when I have iniquity reigning in my life. If there's something you need to get rid of it. Slay the giant like we talked about a few Sunday mornings ago. Look at the next verse. Psalms 134 says, deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep thy precepts. And the reality is that when you do what's right, man's going to oppress you. The devil is not going to sit back and be silent when you're panting after the Lord. And if he can't get to you, know who he's going to get to you? Somebody around you. And if he can't get to somebody around you, there's going to be an enemy. And David faced all types of evil. David faced all opportunities to be bitter. David faced every type of opportunity to be able to give up. But he says, I'm not going to let that bitterness define me. I'm not going to let this have dominion over me. And he asked God to let the oppressor keep from him. Now, what does the word oppress mean? It means keep, or about keep someone in some type of subservience or hardship way, especially being unjust and exercising of authority in an unjust way, or just continually trying to place your authority and push somebody and push somebody and push somebody. And David says, don't let man do that unto me. And then he says, so I will keep thy precepts. You know, one person once said, it is said that oppression makes a wise man mad, and no doubt it has made many a righteous man sinful. You know, what do you mean? You know, sometimes people play games and they just oppress people and they oppress people. But how many times has a husband that's been oppressive caused the wife to sin? Or a wife that has been oppressive to cause a husband to sin? Or someone else. Now, don't get me wrong. We have our own liberty to choose to do what's right or do what's wrong. But somebody that's antagonistic and continually over and over and over on you. And then you turn around and he's like, are you happy now? I got angry. I got mad. And sometimes that's what the oppressive person wants. Your righteousness and you're doing what's right. I remember one time I was sitting in my car with my friend, and like I said, way back when, I had a very smart-aleck mouth, and I was just messing with him and messing with him and messing with him and messing with him, and I was just pushing him, pushing his buttons, and he said a curse word to me, and I've never ever heard a guy say a curse word before that or after that, and he looked at me and said, are you happy? He said, you pushed me so much. I said something I shouldn't have said. And my heart just broke. So you know what? I was wrong. I was just messing with you. He says, but I knew I was messing with him, trying to make him angry. What is it that we're trying to do in our lives? Are we trying to oppress people or are we trying to encourage people? Are we trying to live for what's right? And that's what David is saying here. Deliver me from the oppression so I will keep thy precepts. Verse 135, he says, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. I think that's kind of interesting. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. First thing I want you to pick up from that is he calls himself a servant of God. He says this over and over, and look what he's asking for. He's not asking for silver. He's not asking for gold. He's not asking for fame or power. He's not asking for some type of special favor. He's saying, God, I want you to be pleased with what I'm doing. Men will oppress us, but David says, I want the glory of God to shine upon me. This world may be dark, but David says, I want your face to shine upon me. I want you to be pleased with what I'm doing. And he says, I want you to give me everything I want. No, he says, if your face will shine upon me, he says, I want you to teach me thy statutes. I don't want to get past this. I want to learn, and God is the best teacher. We talk about the simple person up in that verse earlier in 130. The simple become wise when God is the teacher. Even if we don't have understanding about something, if we allow God to teach us, He gives us understanding, and the simple become wise. Last but not least, 136. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. It sounds like a man that's brokenhearted because there are those who will not keep the law of the Lord. If David, a man after God's own heart, is broken by this, imagine how God's heart must be broken also. And it says that there are rivers of water. It doesn't just say weep. It's he continually weeping over the sin of his people and the sin of those that are around him. And do we weep over sin? Do we weep where our nation is at? Do we weep where our families are at? I see many times us saying, oh, good, they're getting what they deserve, and never reaching out, never loving. David's heart is broken. And I don't know how much more to say about that besides what it says. In our life today, how do we view the Word of God? Is it wonderful? Is it full of wonder? You remember the day that God opened the understanding that you needed the Savior, and how wonderful it was, the fact that you're redeemed and you're on your way to heaven, and that it's something that's just amazing, and that God has done something for you, understood that you were lost and on your way to hell, and God saved you from that. That's full of wonder. You can find the same wonderful truths day after day after day in this Word. And that's what he says here. But how do you view it? Because he views it so wonderful, he says, I'm going to keep them. I look at it as such a valuable thing, I'm going to keep them. You think about it, if you had maybe a loved one or someone you esteemed or someone you really looked up to, and they maybe gave you some advice right before they passed away. You've held that in your heart for a long time. I'm going to do that. I'm going to keep on doing that because someone who loved me told me that, and it means so much to me. I'm never going to give up doing that or never going to forget that. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I view God's word as being so wonderful, I got to keep it. I'm going to let it enter into my life, and God's going to give me light. God's going to give me understanding. And because of that light and understanding, I'm going to want more. I'm going to keep on seeking, and I'm going to ask God to be merciful to me, just like he used to be to the Elijahs of the past, just like he used to be to the Esther and the Ruth and to the Enoch. That he was merciful to them. He gave them understanding. And then he's going to say, once I get that understanding, Lord, I want you to order my steps. I know there's going to be people around me, deliver me from those people that are going to oppress me over and over, because I want to keep your precepts. And Lord, I want you to make thy face shine upon thy servant. In a world that's so dark, it's great when God's face shines upon us, when he's pleased with what we're doing, when he smiles at us. I know you can't see God's smile, but your life can be a lot brighter if you've got your eyes focused on him more than the dreariness that's all around us. Tonight, I think it really boils down to two things in this passage of Scripture. Number one, how wonderful do you view God's word? How do you view it? Do you view it wonderful? And the second thing that's overriding here is, how do I view sin? Because when we let dominion have over us, iniquity had dominion over us, we're not going to view his word as wonderful. It's not going to be full of wonder. The sin that we're involved in, that's going to be what has our attention. That's going to be what we love. That's going to be what we desire. That's why we can't let it have dominion over us. That's why David's weeping, because he sees people in bondage. He sees people hurting, and he knows it doesn't have to be that way. How do you look at his word tonight? Don't get it as something that you come and go, pick up and leave. Let it enter into your heart. God's promise, he'll give you light. In a world that's so dark, we need light. He even not only just promised you light and order your steps, he says, I'll give you understanding so you can teach somebody else also. It's completely dark in this world. And some topics in the Bible, some people are like, I'm not really sure about this. Get into your word. Study it. understand the passage, understand the reading reason for the passage, understand what's going on about the passage. Don't just pull one verse out and make that your verse when it doesn't even apply to the topic that you're talking about. Learn the Word of God and let God, if you seek with an open heart, saying, I don't want anything else to have dominion over me. I want to have victory. God will give you light and He'll give you understanding when you view His Word the right way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for Your Word. God, I pray in my own life that I would view it even more wonderful. Thankful for all the difference it's made in my heart and it's made in my life over the years. But God, I don't admire it like I should. Lord, help me to have it in high esteem. And Lord, I count it so precious, I have no other choice but to keep it. And Lord, that I allow it not just to come to a head knowledge, I make a heart knowledge. And in those areas of our lives when there's so many what people call questionable things, we study the Word of God and You give us light, You give us understanding because we pant and we desire You so much. And we ask that You would order our steps, that we don't want to be oppressed and we don't want to let sin have dominion over us, but instead, Lord, that You would make Thy face to shine upon us because of the fact we are following the commandments You've given us. Give us a heart desire for Your Word. And Lord, help us to be honest. There's probably many of us in here tonight that need to say, God, I don't cherish Your Word like I should. And Lord, help me to do better. And Lord, if there's something that has dominion over me, help me to learn how to hate it. Help me to learn what it's doing to myself and to my family and my church family. Help me not to let it to stick to me. Help it not let it have dominion. Help it not hate. Help us to hate every false way. God, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.